Racing fans worldwide, turn your speakers up. RacingDudes.com's at the Breeders Cup. All week long, listen as the racing pros pick winners just as easy as you pick your nose. They'll have race reports, picks of all sorts, to have you balling like LeBron on ball courts. Cause these guys put the super in the word superfecta. Their website is hotter than Carmen Electra. Watch as both dudes work their magic from the first race through the classic. Racing fans need their site just like addicts need fixes, cause these dudes can help players cast their pick sixes. Not only can they pick the longest shot, on a side note, their wives are incredibly hot. If horse racing is your passion and you just want to cash in, one site's gonna help with that action. RacingDudes.com, a Breeders' Cup Week Long, is the free pick site that you can depend on. RacingDudes.com, a Breeders' Cup Week Long, is the free pick site that you can depend on. RacingDudes.com, a Breeders' Cup Week Long, is the free pick site that you can depend on. RacingDudes.com, a Breeders' Cup Week Long, is the free pick site that you can depend on. Log on.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Haltzman. Welcome to a special edition episode. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on? We are live from the Red Roof Inn in somewhere in Kentucky. It's not Lexington, but it's somewhere.
It's a name we can't pronounce, but it is near Lexington.
Yes.
So we are in the vicinity. We drove through Lexington to get here.
So we
drove 8 hours to get here. Got at our hotel, ate, and started working on the website. And now we're doing the podcast at 1 a.m. local time in Lexington here.
We're like those guys, you know, when you're driving overnight somewhere and they come on the radio and it's like, who are these guys? Really? They have people on the radio this late? We're those people for you tonight.
Yeah, we need some live listeners.
Yeah, or any listeners would be fine.
Yeah, so it's here. You know, we can stop talking about Breeders' Cup pre-entries. We can stop talking about what ifs. And we got the fields, and Friday is the start of the Breeders' Cup. We have four races to talk about. We're going to do two episodes. So, yeah, we're not just going to cover Friday. We'll have Friday, and those will be available to you when you're listening to this. It's Thursday, and we will have Friday. We'll have Saturday's previews. So we'll be doing this again tomorrow night.
Yeah, hopefully not at 1:20.
I'd prefer not.
In the morning. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, the thing about it is we're talking about on the way up or the way down or across, sideways, however the hell we were going today, that – when it comes to the Breeders' Cup, if you followed racing all year, which obviously we have, the handicapping comes easy. It really does, because you know many, if not all, of the horses.
Yeah, you brush up on them, but it's not like you have. I mean, every horse you've watched every single race almost this year of every horse in every race, so it makes it a little bit easier. But yeah. We've got four races to talk about. Also on the website, the Breeders' Cup Guide, that's been doing really well. We've had a lot of people purchase that and have found a lot of success and thought it's valuable. So make sure you go to racingdudes.com. We've teamed up within the Winner's Circle and our buddy Saratoga Slim, who we've teamed up and have this really massive, I don't know the best way to describe it, it's just a massive guide to all the Breeders' Cup races. It has detailed information, all of our picks, our top three picks. $10 is all it costs, so go to our racingdudes.com, the products page, and just you'll see the banner. It's easy to do. But all right, that's enough of the plugs.
Yeah.
We've got Breeders' Cup Friday selections. Consists of the Juvenile Turf, the Dirt Mile, the Juvenile Fillies Turf, and the Distaff. Let's go. So we'll start with the Juvenile Turf, race 6, grade 1, of course, all these will be. Field of 14, so grade 1, the Juvenile Turf, 14, Breeders' Cup. You're all the way almost to the far outside, number 13, Simric, you're 7-2, very lukewarm favorite. You got hit at a bomb at 9-2, even on his outside, you got Air Force with the Cassie, of course. It's the local, I guess you could say, at 4-1. Other than that, it's wild.
I think everybody's dying to try to beat all those favorites that you just talked about in this race, and I'm doing the exact same thing. I really believe this will be the toughest race to pick a winner out of the entire Breeders' Cup, which means I will hit this race and then miss all the rest of them afterwards. But look, I think you have to try to beat those shorter prices, and not that they're really short, but they are, you know, favorites in this race. And I look at Cymric and hit a bomb and think, okay, maybe they were vulnerable to begin with. Then they draw the parking lot, basically.
Yeah.
Way outside there, on the turf, and they're two-year-olds. That's just a lot of negatives for me. So
yeah, I mean, you're going a mile, so it's still a little bit too short maybe to and get that far. It becomes you need to be a pretty good horse.
Yeah, and I don't think they're – not that they're bad horses, but I don't think they're good enough to overcome that. So I went against them. I went with actually the other Aiden O'Brien horse, I guess you could call it. Sometimes we talk about the other Todd Pletcher that upsets and wins. So I'm going to go with Aiden O'Brien here in Shogun, number four. You know, sometimes these European horses that come in and they're not quite as hyped, they'll run really well here in the United States. So for me, Shogun, and it's just taking a shot. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get it. Just because a horse runs really well overseas doesn't mean they're going to translate into the United States and just the same difference. A horse maybe that doesn't run too well overseas, it could very well translate into running okay here. So take a shot. I get it. You preach about it, and here I go. I'm picking the number 14 horse, hit it a bomb. Out of Warfront, and really this horse only has two lifetime starts. It's really fresh. It is also out of Aiden O'Brien, but he does draw Ryan Moore to ride, so obviously the better of the jockeys there. As far as coming in, two for two lifetime, has ran on the turf and has ran on synthetics. Both at 7 furlongs. It kind of this horse has that feeling of a horse of, like the Pletcher horses, that it has a lot of hype and has ran two really good races and done it quite easily. What could happen? How easy is this horse? Doing it, ships him here. I think at 9-2 and a horse that's so fresh still shows me a lot. Drawing the outside hurts. This horse is going to have to be good, but I think he is, and so I'm going to take a shot here at 9-2. Not really a shot, but this race you're going to get a price regardless. They're all good prices, 12-1 to 5-1. Even if you want to go crazy, if you're playing the pick fours, I'd say deep is the key word here, or all, if you want to say.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We still haven't quite got it narrowed down, but man, we were playing 9 and 10 horses at first, and we still might. I mean, maybe you hit the all button and go short somewhere else, because this is really tough. And one example, Raise the Bar, a Chad Brown horse, finished third, beaten maybe a length last time out of Belmont Park in the prep for this. He's 20-1 on the morning line. He has every chance to win the race. You can go down the list and name a lot of horses just like that. So
yeah,
you got to go deep in this race. I mean, if you go short and get past it, you have really performed a great handicapping job.
Right. I mean, I think another horse worth mentioning is the 8 horse, which close to the favorite there, the Air Force. I think what's key is we ran through rain here. It's been raining for the last couple of days here at Keeneland. It's supposed to chance the rain on Friday as well and Saturday. This race being ran on Friday, the turf course will still be, I'd say, yielding.
Mm-hmm.
Last time out at Keeneland in a yielding course, this horse looked great. Now they cut back a little bit. This horse could be very dangerous, could be very tough. Mark Cassie in Kentucky is unreal.
Yeah.
So this is a horse that, I doubt you'd be in a race like this. I doubt you'd be thinking, let's leave out the 4-1 shot, but don't do it. I would be very hesitant to do so.
Yeah, I think a key that you mentioned, a lot of the prep races that were ran here at Keeneland were ran over a wet track.
That's what's funny. At that time, we thought, oh, that's not going to matter.
And it may very well matter, because like you were saying, on the way down, even if it clears up, there's a lot of moisture out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of moisture.
So, yeah. All right. So, both the dudes going with the Aiden O'Brien horses, shipping in. I think that's going to be a common theme on the turf Breeders' Cup. All right, let's go to the next race, the Dirt Mile. This one might be the one race I'm most excited about on Friday. And, Dirt Mile is always fun. We don't have Golden Sense this year, which has always kind of been the common theme the last couple of years. But we do have a very nice field here of 11. Of course, going a mile, it's the Las Vegas Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, which could be specific. And Liam's Map draws the 3-hole and is your even money morning line favorite. And other than that, you've got Lee at 8-1. You've got Wicked Strong at 5-1. I'm not sure about that price. Tapiture at 10-1. But I mean, Liam's Map is a standout on this card.
We don't have Golden Sense, but do we have the gray version of Golden Sense? Basically, do we have gray sense here? Because Liam's Map, this race is as simple as this. If he shows up and runs his normal race, he will kill this field. Now, I understand people that are in that camp of, well, he should be in the Classic, and now he's in the Dirt Mile. Are they kind of waving the white flag that maybe he's not doing so well? My argument to that would be there's no reason. If he's not doing well, there's no reason to run him in the Breeders' Cup, you know?
Yeah.
They don't have any reason to push the horse to make a start in the Dirt Mile. The Dirt Mile is not a prestigious race. So, you know, there's pros and cons to that. I think he's going to show up with one of his better races, and if he does, he's going to smoke this field. Not a lot of pace pressure for him. I mean, not that there would be anyway.
Don't think anybody could touch him.
He's one of those horses. He's so fast that it doesn't matter. He's ran in two races this year where there was a ton of speed, and we thought, well, boy, he's going to get pressured. He's so fast, he just outran him, and that's what happens with these world class horses when it comes to speed. That's what they do, and I think he'll do it here. The horse that I think has been really bad all year, but woke up last time out and really ran great is Tapiture. So I think it unfolds exactly like it did last year, where Golden Sense got out to the lead, and Tapiture tried to run him down. I think the same thing's going to happen. Liam Smap's going to be out the lead. Tapiture's going to try to do everything he can to run him down, probably come up short.
Yeah, I think it's big key for me. Castellano's back on board. Liam's map, you know, has ridden twice on this horse and won both times, including the last time out in the Woodward. Ran just an amazing race. This horse has one speed and it's fast. I just don't – it's going to take him to falter, which is pretty obvious for him, any chance to have any horse to beat him. He's not going to get run down by anybody. I think Tapiture to me is one of the – clear as far as going to run him down. If that's going to happen, he's going to have to run a big race. Wicked Strong, I guess, has come back decent form lately. But this is going to a mile. It's kind of interesting. War Envoy is getting a little bit of hype out of Aiden O'Brien, but again, there's not a lot here for me. I can't just make up some ideas here because I think it's all Liam's map. I don't see a lot. This is a single on our ticket, and I think it's a deserving single. I mean, when you have the race like we just talked about and the race we're getting ready to talk about, you have to find something in there.
Yeah.
I think it'd be worth playing on another ticket maybe if you want to get creative, play a few in here that does not include Liam's map, because this is going to be a very common favorite or common single.
Mm-hmm.
If he somehow gets beat, your ticket could explode. So I think it's worth maybe taking a little shots at a few. But because, the thing is, if it melts down, there could be a couple different things that happen. If you're not a believer in Tapiture, what if like Red Vine or Bradster, horses like that, then people aren't even talking about at all for this race. You never know. I mean, they're decent horses. So, but I'm making up stuff basically here because Liam's map is the key. He's got to run a B race and he still wins.
You hate to get in a situation where you're making stuff up in your head.
That's when you know you've overthought it.
Yeah, to try to pick against this horse. Like, what if this happens? What if that happens? Well, there's a million things that can happen in a race. But I'm just not in the business of making things up in my head and then believing it to be true and then telling other
people. Although a lot of people are.
A lot of people are, but I'm not one to make things up in my head, believe it to be true, and then tell the public this is what's going to happen. Here's exactly what's going to happen. He's either going to run and he's going to kill him, or he will bounce and finish off the board.
Liam's map, that's a pick for Racing Dudes. All right, now we're back to the difficult race. And this might be one of the second hardest. If you said that race six was the most difficult race to pick, this might be the second difficult race to pick. That's the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Again, we're on the turf and you got juveniles. So again, it's... it's a grab bag of fun. It's a field of 14 again. And Harmonize is your number 8 horse out of Belmont, Alvarado on board. 7-2 morning line favorite. Again, if you're new to the Breeders' Cup, they're always good prices. Besides, like the Liam's map we just talked about. But there's always value to be had. So other than that, seriously, you have got 9-2 on Illuminate, 5-1 on Catch a Glimpse, Alice Springs is 6-1, but everything else is double digits, and it could get wild.
Well, I did really like Illuminate, but I didn't go with her. And this is my long shot of the Breeders' Cup, my wild pick of the Breeders' Cup, so to speak.
Here we go.
2 weeks ago, a horse by the name of Price to Perfection ran in a maiden special weight at Belmont Park, won very, very nice. I was really impressed. Had to go wide and absolutely just crush the field. Great turn of foot. And I actually tweeted out after the race, man, I bet Chad Brown wishes the Breeders' Cup was like, you know, middle of November
right.
to give this horse some time. Lo and behold, she's entered here. And that really got me excited. I realize it's going to be very tough to go from a maiden to win a race like this with 14 very good quality horses on the turf at a track she's never ran at. But I'm telling you, I really think this horse has a ton of talent. I may be early with her. It's very possible. But in a wide open race, I'm going to give it a shot. I think Price to Perfection looks really, really good. So I'm gonna give her a shot. I did, you know, Illuminate underneath, like I said. I like that horse fine and Harmonize. I mean, it has the win over the track. And like you said earlier, if we get there and it looks like these horses that are experienced over the Keeneland Turf Course are running well, then Harmonize and Sapphire Kitten, the 1-2 finishers of the prep race that was ran at Keeneland, they're going to look very attractive. But at the moment, I'm going to take a long shot, 20-1 on the morning line, and I think you'll get every bit of that Price to Perfection.
Yeah, there's a few things that are going for you in that pick. Is you know, Chad Brown has so many options and so many – no forcefulness at all to run in this race. You know, yeah. Why would you if you didn't think – you at least had somewhat of a shot. And one thing that's really important to remember, I think, with this horse, if you look two races ago, which is the first horse – the first career start of this horse, mm-hmm. finished third – to the number one horse in this race, 10 Type Gal, 12-1 morning line on 10 Type Gal. Guess what? That horse last out won a Grade 3.
Mm-hmm.
And still, this is a step up for that horse as well. But you can see, and it's a close race too, as well. That first race. So you're talking about a horse first time out gets beat closely by 10 Type Gal. 10 Type Gal comes back, wins a Grade 3. So I think that's a Grand Motion trained horse, mm-hmm. and definitely a little more sought out after, I think, than yours. But they're probably a little more closer together than people are thinking. So 20-1 is on yours compared to this. I think that's definitely value there.
Well, and you analyzed 10 Type Gal, and this is exactly my thought process because I looked at her too because I saw that she beat Price for Perfection. Okay, her first race was a sloppy off the turf 5.5
right.
furlong.
Throw it out.
But she'd at least got a race under her belt, and so her second race was against a first-time starting Price Perfection. So she beats her by a length. Good race. I mean, give her credit for sure. And then, like I said, comes back to win the stakes. But who's to say that if Price of Perfection, maybe if it was her second race against 10 Type Gal instead of her first race,
what would it be?
She could have won that, and then maybe she goes and wins the Miss Grio Stakes, the Grade 3 at Belmont, the prep for this. And then all of a sudden, Price Perfection's like 3-1 in this race.
Yeah.
And now she's 20-1. I'm telling you, she has a ton of ability. A ton of ability. I know when I see a great move on the turf like that, it reminded me of like a Winter Memories type of move on the turf.
I ride Ortiz riding. That's a...
Back again to ride. You know...
Horse was purchased for $230K as well. So this is
a great owner.
This is a serious connection, serious...
Mm-hmm.
At 20-1, that's a value play, no doubt. I like it, man. I'm pumped. I'll have some money on the horse as well because my other horse that I picked is 7-2, and that's Harmonized. Here I am going chalky.
That's logical though. That's a very logical horse.
But yeah, you know, I think it's so important to have a race under your belt at the track. Keeneland has been kind of weird,
mm-hmm.
For turf horses, and this horse comes off of, you know, the Grade 3 win at mile 16th. That's what's interesting. He was cutting back, and a lot of these horses are. But really, this horse has done nothing wrong in three races, has you know, 2 for 3, and the last two have been super impressive. What I like, definitely, this horse is very versatile too. The last time out went from way back. Time before that was all right on the pace, you know, kept it close. So I think this horse is kind of learning and can do a couple different things. Out of Scat Daddy, Bill Mott trained, you know, this guy wins 25% last time after winning the last time. So, it's deserving. It's kind of, I don't know, it's hard because I really like this horse, but I also see the race blowing up. So I'll be playing deep in this race as well.
Absolutely.
But I'm never going to leave off like a Harmonize. And I'm definitely, I mean, listening to you talk about yours and seeing that horse, I mean, that horse should be like 8-1.
Well, another thing I want to point out about Harmonize, and I have no problem people liking Harmonize, and Sapphire Kitten as well, because, you know, she almost beat Harmonize. It was a very close race. I think about this. There's the Todd Fletcher horse, number 2, Thrilled, was able to beat Harmonize in a maiden special weight. Okay. They race again a month later. Harmonize beats her by 4 lengths. Then Thrilled ran against 10-time Gal in that race at Belmont that 10-time Gal won. But, you know, it was a close race. So Thrilled, you know, beat Harmonize once, got beat by 4 lengths another time, but is competitive, at least. 10-time Gal beats Thrilled, you know, but she just barely beat Price Perfection, and she had some things going her way.
I think the moral of the story is they're not all that kind far of blended apart. Together here.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might see some of the higher prices kind of coming down and some of the lower prices kind of coming up, because I think everyone's – that's a great point.
Yep.
And they're all mixed together there a little bit.
I don't know. I just think –
And 14 horses on the turf, it can get wild.
Yeah, and, you know, you've got Chad Brown and Erad Ortiz in the corner of one of them. I don't know. I'm really, really excited for that race.
All right, Harmonize for me, Price Perfection for you, the long shot of the day, long shot of the Breeders' Cup. But definitely be playing this race. I see a lot of different angles here. So be playing this race deep. But definitely leave those two on your ticket. All right, the last leg of the pick four, and of course the main event of Friday's Breeders' Cup, the Distaff. It's a grade one. It's worth $2 million, worth running that amount in eighth. Field of 14. It's like you usually look at the Distaff and you say, okay, we got a little bit of a, you know, either got a heavy favorite or we've got a smaller field where we can still go play deep and not spend a lot. No, it's 14. 14 horses in the Distaff, which is great. They filled it. Of course, Untappable scratches out. Peace and War comes in. So he still had the 14 filled. Untappable is unfortunate that she's not in there. But, I mean, you and I both have been against this horse most of the year, and I don't think – I wasn't expecting a whole lot here anyways.
No.
You know, Stop Charging Maria 5-1, Wedding Toast at 4-1, Got Lucky at 6-1, and Sheer Drama all the way to the outside at 9-2. I'm a Chatterbox at 8-1. So, you know, this is a race – this is probably the most, I mean, competitive race we have as far as just, I could see every single horse in here winning the race.
And it's kind of what happens when you get a lot of horses together that are pretty good in quality, but not great in quality. And basically what has happened is Beholder's gone from this race. She's in the Classic. And without Beholder this year, the older filly and mare, you know, division has been bad, we could say. And then you take the three-year-olds into the mix. The three-year-olds have decided nothing on their own this year as far as within their division. They've all kind of beaten up on each other, had their moments of good and bad. And then you put them together and say, hey, let's put the best of both divisions together. They all run similar speed figures. They've all done similar things. And it's like, this is a big joke. So it's really a mess. What I ended up doing, and I had her pick to begin with, and then I flipped off of her when she didn't run a prep race. We didn't see her, but I'm back to her now. Number 9 Stellar Win for me. I've just felt like, and you have too, all year, this horse is the most talented of the three-year-olds. And, you know, got one of the worst trips of all time in the Kentucky Oaks. Victor, I don't know what happened there, but still got fourth and came with a little bit of a run. And I think we all kind of thought after that race, okay, you know, we'll see it next time. She comes back. She wins a race in June at Santa Anita and does very well. And then comes back all the way. It took till August to see her again, and she dominates at Del Mar. And we thought then, okay, she's going to run in a prep. It's going to be a really good prep for the Breeders' Cup, and we're going to see exactly where she's at. Never saw her. I mean, she never ran. So now she comes in fresh. That is the worrisome thing. But I just have to think, I've got to stick to my guns here, and you could be rewarded finally. Stellar Win for me in an absolutely wide open race that, like you said, I could see going 100 different ways.
Yeah, Stellar Win, you know, you're getting a 12-1 price. This is a morning line. That's maybe a little generous, but you're getting a 12-1 price on a horse that, say she runs in one more prep, and say she runs, like, I mean, probably we would expect her to run and wins, and you say all of a sudden now she's maybe, you know, 3, 4, 5-1. And so I think the 12-1 is what's scaring people off. And frankly, I just don't – John Sadler, I have a lot of faith in. And I feel like, if she's ready, then he'll run her. And her training has been excellent. She looks great. I mean, she's awesome. Of course, she's out of Curlin, so you know she looks great. But her training's been great. Everything looks okay. I like this horse. says Kentucky Oaks was brutal. But she did show that if she is way back, she does make a little bit of a run, but she does her most damage when she's a little bit closer. Not quite like that day. But, you know, Victor Espinoza, they've stayed faithful with this guy, and he's been on him, you know, been on her pretty much her whole career, and then she's running here again. So Espinoza looks to win both the Classic and the Distaff. We'll talk about the Classic next episode. But stellar win. I've picked this horse several times all year. Was wrong in the Oaks, but I've been right several times other than that, and I think she's going to – I mean, I got to go with her one more time. I can't jump the bandwagon. My number two choice is I've been back and forth with this horse. Originally, I had the horse completely off my tickets. And then the next thing I know, I just can't shake her. The 12 horse got lucky. Here's your little bit older horse, the 4-year-old. I've been on this horse the last couple of races, and she finally made me look really smart last time out in the Spinster. And kind of coming into form, you know, and it's kind of weird because typically Todd Pletcher horses, like they come into form and then they're kind of done. Well, she's kind of struggled to get into form, and then now she's in it. She's kind of locked in it, and she's growing and getting a little bit better every time, and she's kind of got that grinding, slow grinding style. So I feel like if there's a decent pace, which it seems like there will be, you know, Wedding Toast is a horse that can definitely light up the track. If Got Lucky has a little bit of pace to run into, that's my guess. I couldn't shake her. She's running too good right now, but this is a race I'm going deep in as well. So I think if you're looking at the pick four, you go deep. You go single in Liam's Map. Then you go get interesting. You know, I really like those couple horses we talked about in the last race. But if you want to go deeper, I think you have to kind of – this is where you have to make the agreement. You either go deep in the eighth and not so much in the ninth, or you go the opposite. Mm-hmm. And for us, I think you might go a little bit thinner in the eighth because the ninth is so wide open. So I'm going a little deeper. But for me, on top and with you, Stellar Wind. It's all the time we have. Check us out at racingdudes.com for free picks or simple plays. Available every day for Belmont, Keeneland, Remington, and now Del Mar. Churchill coming Sunday, right?
Yeah, coming Sunday.
Keeneland will win. Churchill will come up.
That's right. And Churchill on Sunday, all 2-year-old races.
That makes it fun.
It does.
Simple plays should be good.
Yeah, it makes it real easy for
me. We have best plays, value plays, and race plays, of course. Make sure you check that out. Bet makes Command Center on the handicapping products page. And then we've added guaranteed tip sheet. They are a really good company, good handicappers, and they've got good Breeders' Cup picks, so make sure you check them out. We've had a lot of users that use them and have success. We like to use them as well, so make sure you try them out as well during the Breeders' Cup. Try them all out. You know, everyone's got opinions. The Breeders' Cup guide, we mentioned that in the intro. Make sure you know, it's $10. Try it out. I think you'll be impressed. We've put a lot of information and a lot of work into that. We'll be back tomorrow, so if you miss us, we'll be gone shortly. This is kind of the preview. This is the appetizer because right. Tomorrow's episode is huge. We've got nine, guys.
Yeah,
we're struggling. 9 races to talk about tomorrow. Yep. So, and of course that little race at the end that the Classic. Oh, yeah, that's right.
I've heard of
it. We're currently covering 21 tracks, all offering free picks. So if you're not playing the Breeders' Cup races, or if you are, if you're at Keeneland tomorrow, make sure you go to the website and try them out. We're on Twitter at @race_dudes. LinkedIn, Google+, and Facebook. We'll be constantly on social media during the Breeders' Cup, so make sure you follow us. I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Haltman. Good luck this week. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.